tactical nuclear weapon, taking ABC off the air. Iger didn't know how seriously to take this threat. Still, Disney scrambled to head off the crisis as the April 30th deadline approached by trying to extend the agreement for another month by letter and fax. April 30th, a Sunday, also marked the beginning of the May sweeps period, which would determine whether ABC remained the number one network. Time Warner didn't respond. ABC network and station executives, worried about the effect on ratings, were pleading with Iger to make a deal. Eisner was so absorbed by the affair that he couldn't sleep. He was on the phone to Iger at 6 a.m. on Sunday, April 30th, which was 3 a.m. in California. Late Sunday afternoon, Iger organized a conference call of the roughly 30 executives involved in the crisis. He took a roll call, gave an impassioned speech, "We will stay the course," he said, and assigned battle stations. Each station manager was told to record a message to viewers to be aired at 11 p.m. Disney, meanwhile, made one last effort, an offer that Iger insisted be simple and clear. Disney faxed Time Warner a one-paragraph document giving Time Warner unconditional and unequivocal consent to transmit ABC's programming through May 24th. After the 11 p.m. local news, Tom Kane, the general manager of WABC in New York, appeared live on TV to warn cable viewers about the possible loss of the network. At midnight, the Disney-owned channels, including ABC and ESPN, went dark on Time Warner's cable systems. On Monday morning, Iger woke at his usual time, 4:30 a.m., and worked out at the Reebok Sports Club across Columbus Avenue from ABC headquarters. He reached the office at 6 and shortly afterward left for Los Angeles. Just as ABC's phone lines were becoming jammed with callers, many of them from other media. In an approach modeled on James Carville's all-out defense of President Clinton during the impeachment inquiry, he began a non-stop schedule of media appearances as soon as he landed in Los Angeles, attacking Time Warner for depriving people of the channels. In New York, Houston, and Los Angeles, Disney offered free satellite dishes to the first 1,000 callers willing to drop Time Warner and switch to DirecTV. Late on Monday, Time Warner executives were still hoping that Disney, facing a possible ratings disaster, would capitulate. But with public anger at Time Warner mounting, Disney didn't consider the option. Even without Time Warner's 3.5 million affected cable viewers, Monday night was a ratings coup for ABC. The network had scheduled a special Celebrity Millionaire, and that show alone pulled a rating of 22.1. Each point represents about a million homes. In the New York area, where the signal was missing from more than a million households, the show exceeded the national average. On Tuesday morning, Iger spoke to New York Senator Charles Schumer. Schumer told Iger that his household was among those that had been blacked out by Time Warner the previous night. "My daughters are complaining that they couldn't watch Celebrity Millionaire." He wouldn't take sides, he said, but added, "TV signals should not be pulled off the air because of corporate battles." He said that he had already spoken to Levin and had asked him to extend the agreement with Disney for 6 months and get ABC back on the air. In times of crisis, Levin had often called upon Time Warner's co-chief operating officer, Richard Parsons.